The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Would you open your Bible today to Genesis chapter 22? In case you've forgotten, Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and you should be able to find chapter 22. Genesis 22, and I'll read for us today verses 1 through 14. I ask you to follow in your Bible, no matter what your translation. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That's very near King James or NIV or whatever else you may have. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 22. And after these things, God tested Abraham. You might want to circle that word tested there, or underline it, or highlight it, or put a star by that verse. After these things, God put Abraham to the test. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. And God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham said, Not on your life will I do that. That's not what the text says, is it? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said to his young men, the two who traveled with him, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took in his hand the fire. It would have been in a censer, a clay pot of some kind with a chain or something to hold it at a distance from him. Took in his hand the coals of fire and the knife, probably a flint knife. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father? And Abraham said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, and can I stop long enough to say, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is, I'm going to give you some 50-cent words here, and then I'll explain, a pre-incarnate manifestation of the second person of the Godhead. This is Jesus before his birth, as a baby in Bethlehem. This is the Son of God, the angel of the Lord. And the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. So the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. The angel said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Lord, give us the message from this part of Abraham's life that we so desperately need these days. Hear us and answer us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was at first light that Abraham rose, woke two servants and his son Isaac, got a few things together and took leave of the camp. We don't know exactly where he was camped, somewhere in the desert, the Negev, your translation may say, which is the Hebrew word for desert, one of the words for desert, but somewhere. perhaps in Gaza or down near Beersheba or Hebron. We don't know exactly where he was camped, but it was a little ways from where he was going. And so the little band walked mostly in silence for some time. The only noise would have been the crunch of their sandals in the sand or the clack of their sandals on bare rock. 3 days they walked. 3 days' journey they took to get to the place God was going to show him. Go to Moriah, and I'll show you where I want you to do this deed. Every step of the way, I think the words that had chilled Abraham's soul must have echoed in his ears. Take Isaac, back in verse 2. Take Isaac, your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in a place I will show you. Verse 2 is a critical verse there. God gave no explanation, just this blood-curdling command. Isaac, your son, whom you love, sacrifice, burnt offering. I think those must have been the longest 3 days of Abraham's life. The longest 3 days of his life. Finally, Moriah loomed before them, and Abraham told his two servants to wait here. He said, Isaac and I will go yonder and worship and return to you. So Isaac shouldered the wood. Abraham took the coals of fire and the censer and the flint knife. And it was then that Isaac must have asked, but where's the lamb for sacrifice? And Abraham replied, the Lord will provide. At last they arrived at the spot. God said, here it is. Build the altar and sacrifice your son. So he built an altar of stones that he gathered from the area. He arranged the wood so that it would hold the sacrifice. And then it was time for the lamb. And Isaac turned to his father with a questioning look. Where's the lamb? It was only then that when his pulse beat fast, that Abraham could no longer hide this truth from his son. He took his son by the hand and told him what God had said. Isaac, the day you were born was the happiest day of my life. You were a miracle child. I was 100 years old, well past the age of fathering a son. Your mother was 90 years old, well past the age that a woman would bear a son. And God had said it was through you that he would make our family as the sand of the seashores and as the stars in the sky. But now God has said, I must offer you as a lamb of sacrifice. I don't understand, but I'm sure God said it. To his credit, Isaac said, well, if God said it, we must do it. And he stood meekly while his father bound him hand and foot and then tenderly laid him on the altar. Took the flint knife in his hand and lifted against the life of his own son. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But a split second before that sharp blade cut Isaac's throat, the same voice that had told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him stopped him dead in his tracks. Stop! Abraham, stop! His arm froze in midair. The knife must have dropped from his numb fingers. Stop! Somehow, Abraham picked up that knife again and cut not his son's throat for a sacrifice, but the ropes that bound Isaac. And then he gathered into his arms this beloved son that he had given up for the dead. It was at that time behind him God pointed out a ram, a sheep that had been caught by its horns in a thicket, and said, there's your sacrifice. And so Abraham and Isaac retrieved the sacrifice, set the fire on the altar, and offered God that burnt offering of a ram. God provided. Yahweh Yireh. Jehovah Jireh, as we usually just say in English. Yahweh Yireh. God provided. And that place was called ever after. Yahweh Yireh. God provides. What God orders, God provides. God pays the bills for what he orders. Now, that's the story. And as we read it today in the 21st century, it leaves us with two main problems. Number one, Did God really tell Abraham to go kill Isaac and burn his body on an altar as a sacrifice? Liberal biblical scholars say no. I could quote you the names of some in the state of Louisiana that said, no, God didn't tell Abraham to do this. This was the custom among Abraham's ancestors back in Ur of the Chaldees, where he grew up. This was the custom of the people in the land of Canaan, his neighbors there, all of whom offered their children as sacrifices. I mean, literally, firstborn sons were sacrificed to their gods. And so liberal scholars, liberal professors say, God didn't really do this. Abraham just saw everybody else around doing it and assumed that's what Yahweh, Jehovah, wanted him to do as well. But can I tell you, God ordered this. The Bible couldn't be plainer, could it? I remember a student came to my office one day when I was pastoring near a college and said, my professor said, God didn't tell Abraham to do this. I said, well, let's read the account. We read it. And then I said to her, now, the account says he did. Your professor said he didn't. Who are you going to believe? I stay with the Bible every time, you know. The Bible says God told Abraham to do that. It was a strange thing, an unusual thing. And we would think it not only painful, but child abusive. You know, some would say child abusive. It's just a strange story to get your arms around. But it is clear from the Bible that God told Abraham to do this. It wasn't something that just entered Abraham's head from what his neighbors were doing. Some think that unworthy of God. What kind of God would order that? In fact, you know the name Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest who got saved. Later, he got out of the priesthood and married a woman named Catherine. In fact, she had been a nun. And so one day, he and she were leading their family. They had several children after they married. And he was leading them in a family worship time and read this story. And Catherine said to Martin, God, the God we know and love and serve, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, would not treat his son like that. And Luther said, oh, but Katie, he did. He did. Can I tell you, 2,000 years later, God gave up his unique son, not 600 yards from where Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. Not 600 yards from that very spot, Jesus, the Son of God, hung on a rugged cross. God gave up his son as a sacrifice. Did God order Abraham to do this? Yes. The God who knows what it is to sacrifice his own son ordered Abraham to do this. And the second problem we have is that we read the story backwards, right? The very first verse says God tested Abraham. Well, you know what that means, don't you? That means Abraham didn't know it was a test. All he knew was God told him to take his son to a mountain he would show him up in near Moriah. God would order him to take his son there, and that's what he was intent on doing. He didn't know that the God of heaven would stop him before he sacrificed his son. He had no clue. All he knew was that God had told him to do it. If you read the story backward and you see, oh, that was just a test, then that removes the test from it, does it not? Abraham didn't know. We know because we've read the story. But Abraham had no clue that God was going to stop it. He was intent on simply doing what God had told him to do with Isaac. It was a test. All of his life, Abraham faced tests, but the supreme test came at Moriah. And I mentioned this. I want to talk to you about it today because God ever calls men and women, boys and girls, to Moriah, the mountain of sacrifice. God always does that, and I'll show you how in just a moment. He wants to test you. He will test you, as he tested Abraham on that long ago occasion. On Moriah, God tests your love. At Moriah, God tested the man to see whether Abraham loved him. How did he do it? He asked for the thing dearest to Abraham. You see, Abraham had a lot of other stuff he could have offered God. He could have offered him anything. He would have offered him anything to save his son, but nothing else would do. He had thousands of cattle and sheep, but they would not do. He had another son by a different woman, Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. We'll say more about that in a moment. He had another son, Ishmael, and I think he would gladly have offered Ishmael, but the son of Hagar would not do. He probably would have offered God Sarah, and she would have gone along with it. He would have offered God his own life, but that would not do. He wanted Abraham's Isaac, the one thing in the world that meant more to him than anything else. Binding and preparing Isaac for sacrifice proved Abraham loved God more than anything else. I love you more than gold or silver. I love you more than anything else. Only you will satisfy. God saw that Abraham loved him most of all. That leads me to a question. What's the most cherished love in your life? Is it your wife or your husband, your spouse? Is that your most cherished thing? Is it your children? Your grandchildren? Great-grandchildren? What do you cherish more than anything else in all this world? Is it your house? Is it your business? Is it your boat? I knew a man once who loved his tractor probably better than he loved anything else. He had no wife. They had no children. She had died or divorced him. And he carried a picture of his John Deere tractor in his billfold. And he would show it to you and tell you how much he loved that tractor. That was his Isaac. He loved that more than he loved anything else in all the world. Is it your career? Is it your calling even? What do you love more than you love anything else in all the world? Whatever it is, it's your Isaac. Do you see? Isaac was the thing Abraham loved supremely in this world. And God tested him to see if Abraham loved God more than anything else in the world. Are you willing to sacrifice the one thing you love most for love of me? Sometime, someplace, God will test you in the same way. He will order you to a Mount Moriah on the map of your life, and he will order you to lay down your Isaac. Do you love me more than you love this Isaac? It may seem to you a thing unpleasant, something you never want to do. It may seem to you a thing unreasonable. But God will point to that thing and say, go to the mountain and part with it for love of me. Build an altar and bind your Isaac for burning. Count on it. There will come, if it hasn't already, a Moriah on the map of your life where God will test your love for him. Do you love me more than your Isaac? On Mount Moriah, God tested obedience. God tested the man Abraham to see whether he would obey him. God gave him a command. Not a very nice command, not a command he welcomed, but God gave a command and he never explained it. Maybe if he had explained it, Abraham would have found it easier to do. But God gave him no reason. Isaac must die, and Abraham must kill him. Abraham never asked why. It wasn't a thing he wanted to do, but he knew God had ordered it. And you know, I think on that three-day trip, that must have been playing in Abraham's mind all the way, every step of the way. He fought that awful battle in his soul. Your son, your only son, Isaac, the son of promise, bind, kill, burn. He must have fought that awful battle in his soul every step of the way. on his way to Moriah. But in the end, he obeyed. God not only ever tests love, your love for him, but he will test your obedience to him. Somehow, someplace, somewhere, God will come to you and order you to Moriah to lay down your Isaac. Are you going to obey? Can he count on you to do what he tells you to do? Will you do it? To argue with God is to disobey. To hesitate is to disobey. To offer an alternative is to disobey. To obey partially is to disobey. God wants to know if you will do what he tells you to do without questioning and quibbling. He will test your obedience. If he hasn't already, he will. Just be prepared. Stay ready for it. It'll come your way. One of my favorite stories regards Abraham Lincoln. When he was president, he was trying to determine whether he was going to sign the Emancipation Proclamation or not. It wasn't a done deal. It took him a while to figure that out and decide what to do with it. But while he was hesitating about it, trying to decide, a group of preachers came to visit the president. They were ushered into the Oval Office, and Lincoln listened with them as they said, "God told us to come tell you to sign that document you're considering. It's his will." When they left, another group of preachers was ushered in, and they said, "God told us to come tell you not to sign that bill. It'll be the greatest divisive thing in the history of this nation. It's not his will for you to sign that bill." When Lincoln humorously told that to one of his aides, he said, "You know, it looks to me like, since I'm the guy that has to sign it or not, if God had anything to say, he'd have said it to me." But then he got serious and he said, "However, if in this matter I can know the will of God, I will surely do it." That's what it means to obey God, doesn't it? If in this matter I can know the will of God, I will surely do it. Is that your spirit? Is that your heart? Is that what you do? God will test your obedience to see if you will surely do his will. Count on it. Somewhere on the map of your life, there's a Mount Moriah. Maybe you've already been there, or maybe you have yet to be there. But somewhere on the map of your life, there's a Mount Moriah where God will test you to find out whether you will obey him. It may seem a hard thing, but he will test you to see if you will do what he has told you to do. At Mount Moriah, God tests trust. In this event, in this episode, at Moriah, God tested the man to see whether Abraham really trusted him. "Abraham, you really trust me? Do you really trust me? Obey? Trust and obey. Do you really trust me?" Honestly, Abraham's history of trust is rather checkered. When you read back over his story in the Bible, you will see there were times that Abraham trusted God and times Abraham didn't trust God. It was off and on, back and forth, up and down. For example, Abraham trusted God to get him to Canaan. The Bible says he left Ur and went out not knowing whither he went. But he knew with whom he was going, and that was good enough. "I'll leave family and home and all my possessions and stuff here, all of my connections, my friends, my influence. I'll leave all of that. I don't know where I'm going, but God has told me to go, and he said he'll lead me." And so he trusted God when he left Ur of the Chaldees. But he didn't trust him to care for him once he got there. When there was a famine in the land, guess what? He went down to Egypt. He didn't trust God to provide for him in the land he led him to. God put him there. Why wouldn't God provide for him? No. Abraham says, "Something I've got to do myself." And so he went down to Egypt, the breadbasket of the ancient world. And even in Egypt, he didn't trust God to protect him because he lied to Pharaoh. His wife, Sarah, was apparently a very beautiful woman. And Abraham was afraid that Pharaoh would want to kill him and take her. So he said, why don't you say you're my sister? That was a half-truth. She was his half-sister. I won't go into that. But it was a half-truth. But Pharaoh reached out and took her and put her in his harem. Now think about that. If she's in his harem, how's God going to give Abram a son of promise that will make his family as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea? Abraham nearly got outside the covenant right there and made it impossible for God to keep his promise. Do you see that? He didn't trust God. And then he trusted God when he dealt with his nephew Lot. Why don't you decide what land you want to claim and I'll go on the others. Our flocks are competing for the sparse grass up here in the highlands. And so if you want to go down to the Dead Sea, down to what now is the Dead Sea, if you want to go down to that area, then where there's a lot of winter grass, lush winter grass, and feed your flocks there, go ahead. And I'll stay up here in the highlands. Whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. Well, his nephew Lot did the Christian thing. He took the best for himself, right? It's not the Christian thing. But he took the best for himself and left Abram the sparse highlands. Very little up in those highlands. I've been there, seen it. Ain't much to eat for sheep and cows up in that area. But Abram trusted God. And God rewarded that because he later appeared to him and said, all this land, even that your nephew Lot has claimed, is yours. It will be yours. He did trust God on that. But he didn't trust God to keep his word about his descendants. He had said he'd have a son and make of Abram's descendants a great nation. And Abraham was pushing on up in years. He said, I need to make that happen. But Sarah was not bearing a child. He couldn't seem to conceive a child by her. And she said, why don't you take Hagar, my handmaid? This was a Canaanite custom, the Nuzi, N-U-Z-I. It was a Nuzi custom. We found the books. They did that. And Abraham said, well, my neighbors are all doing that. I guess I could too. And he fathered a son, named him Ishmael. But that wasn't a son of promise. Abraham didn't trust God to provide the son of promise. He thought he needed to take care of that himself, right? So he trusted God, he didn't trust God. He trusted God, he didn't trust God. Trusted God, he didn't trust God. Kind of a checkered history, is it not? But then God gave him Isaac, the son through whom the promise would be fulfilled. And now look, the very God who promised him a great family, promised to make of him a great nation, the very God who made that promise and gave him Isaac, the son through which that promise would be fulfilled, the only son of promise he had, he didn't have a second or third or spare son, the only son of promise he had, God had said, you must take that boy and offer him as a burnt offering. This was the instrument through which he would become a great nation. How's he going to become a great nation? If he sacrifices the son of promise. But you know what? The Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that Abraham went up to the mount, built the altar, arranged the woods, bound his son, and laid him on the altar, fully trusting God to keep his promise. Hebrews 11 says he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead if necessary in order to keep his promise. He trusted God that much. I have to say, Taylor, do you trust God that much? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. On the map of my life, there are Moriahs where God has tested my trust. And if you've not been to Moriah yet where God tested your trust, just wait. It's on its way. He will call you to a mountain of Moriah on the map of your life and test whether you really trust him to keep his word. Do you really, really trust him? Count on it. Now, I've come to the end, but I want to make sure that you don't miss the point of this story. What is the point of this story? Hey, folks, this is a story about Abraham, not about Isaac. It was not Isaac God wanted. God wanted Abraham. Here's a little bit of poetry to remind you of it. Most of us, I dare to say, have an Isaac in God's way. On the altar, God will prove it's not Isaac he wants. It's you. God wanted Abraham. He wanted Abraham to love him supremely. He wanted him to obey him promptly and fully. He wanted him to trust him beyond any measure of doubt. And so he put him to the test. Has God called you to Moriah? Maybe he's calling today. If so, then you need to be on your way to Mount Moriah. Fire and knife and wood in hand to do what God has said. He may be putting you to the test today. Maybe it was yesterday, or it could be tomorrow. Do you love him? Will you obey him? Will you trust him and lay your Isaac down? Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we love you. I think I can speak for all of us. We love you. We obey you. We trust you. But I must confess that we may not love you as much as we should, or obey you as promptly and as fully as we should, or trust you as completely as we should. So, Father, reach deep inside us today and make the corrections that need to be made there. Forgive us our sins of lovelessness and disobedience and untrustfulness. And teach us, Father, by testing us, to put you as absolute first in our lives. Love you more than anything. Obey you quickly and without questioning. And trust you completely. Lord, I don't know to whom you may be speaking today, but I pray that whomever this was the message intended, you intended for, would be open-eared and open-hearted, open-minded, and receive the message from you. And Father, there are others here today that need to make decisions. Some need to trust Jesus for the very first time. Some, Lord, need to rededicate themselves to following you and serving you. Some, Father, may need a church home. Some need to practice stewardship the way you have told us to practice stewardship. Some may have received from you a call for ministry of some kind. Lord, I don't know what you've been dealing with people about. But may our answer be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Put us to the test, and may we prove out. It's my prayer for us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. The song is, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And if there's a decision you need to make public, now's the time to do it. I'll be standing here to provide counsel if you need it. And if God hasn't told you to come publicly, then don't come. But do what you need to do right where you are to make matters straight with him, to show that you love him and obey him and trust him.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, are about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.